2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." But Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." There is a reasonably bold claim in these parts that there is only one way, and that one way is Essex. Mercifully, it's a completely erroneous claim that we don't need to go the way of heavy drinking and fake tans to get where we need to go. There is a greater claim that we hold to here at Emmanuel, and that is that there is one way to the Father. There is one hope. There is only one way to be saved, and that is Jesus. This is what Christians hold to. It's what the Bible, it's the consistent message of the whole of the Bible. And yet, it's unacceptable in today's world. Unacceptable that somebody could say something so definite, so something so precise about Christianity. That Jesus is the only way, the only Savior, the only truth, and no one can get to the Father in any other way. There's a clash that butts heads with where our society is at in a couple of different ways. It butts heads with the sort of worldview of pluralism that says that, you know, you can get to God any way you like. As Will said, actually, helpfully, at the beginning, the idea that Jesus is just one way, but there are many paths, and you can get to the same end point. You can get to the same destination. You could just as easily go up another path. You could follow Hinduism or self-actualization or whatever it is. That they all lead to God would be the world's claim, or one of the world's claims. But Jesus doesn't give you that sort of wiggle room. He is unashamed in saying, "I am the way, one way, the truth and the life, and no one gets to God but through me." Jesus clashes with that idea of pluralism because he says he's the only way. He also clashes with sort of humanism, with our belief in humanity, with the things that we think we can do for ourselves. So actually, sort of increasingly, if my Facebook feed is anything to go by, we're no longer saying that whatever religion you follow is okay, you'll get to God. Actually, we're saying that it's completely out of date. It's completely old hat to believe in any sort of religion at all. You know, science is the way, people are the way, we are the way. But Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And those are words that are unacceptable to the vast majority of people in our culture. Now, what we need to do this morning is look at what Jesus says and why he makes that bold claim and why it's so important that we get it. Let me just give you a little bit of context if you weren't here last week. Where are we in John's gospel? Well, Jesus is up in a room with his friends, with his disciples. And he's told them that he's going to leave them. In fact, not only is he going to leave them, but he's about to die. After this meal that he shares with his friends, he's going to be arrested. He's going to face a trial. Then he's going to be crucified. He's going to the cross the next morning. But Jesus isn't just going to die. He's already told us back in chapter 13 that he is on the way to the Father. He is going home. He will come back from the dead. He will go back to God. And so Jesus speaks of his destination, although he will go via the cross, as being, well, we read it in those early verses and we looked at it last week, that destination is the house of his Father. He's headed back to God, back to glory. And he's going to take his friends with him, these guys in this room, and Christian people today and throughout the ages. That was met with confusion initially by the disciples. They ask a whole bunch of questions, some of which we'll look at today, some of which we won't. But the answers that Jesus gives really help us clarify a couple of things for us. We're going to see two things this morning. Jesus' destination, briefly, and then we're going to see something about his route, how you get there. So first of all, this morning, his destination. And it's all about relationship, we're going to see. Now, Thomas, he asks a question when Jesus tells him this stuff that's really helpful in verse 5. It's helpful because we need the answer. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know where Jesus is going. He doesn't know how they can follow him. He's lost. I don't know what your experiences of being lost are. I tend to find that I get lost more than other people nowadays because I still don't have a smartphone. And when people have smartphones, they just go, pop, 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 type it in. And they sort of walk off into a bog or something. But they get there in the end. Now, Thomas is more like me. He's lost. And he can't find the way. He doesn't have a smartphone. He doesn't actually even know where he is going. And he's very similar to many people in our world. We're not just trying to find the way, but we're trying to find where we're going to. We don't know what the destination is. And a question for you this morning might be, where are you going? Do you know? I used to hate that question. In fact, I still get it every now and again. What are you doing? When are you going to get a proper job? What are you doing with your life? Come on. When my ex-housemate from Lebanon, Alistair, is sitting over there, and he'll remember these years. We used to sit around and say, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Where is this all ending up? None of us knew, such as the curse of being in your mid-20s and single. But there's a bigger scale than that, isn't there? It's not just what job am I going to get. It's a scale that takes in life and death. And hey, what comes afterwards? Where am I going? Most people just don't know. In fact, it's such a big question that we're afraid to contemplate it. There's complete confusion in the world about this. Everyone disagrees. So many people don't know where they're going, or they don't know how they're getting there, or whatever. So, you know, we go back and talk about pluralism. You get these world religions. They don't even have the same end points. They don't have the same destination. They're not all the same. They can't be. They all say totally different things. You know, am I headed to nirvana, to sort of blissful nothingness? Am I going to be incorporated into God? Am I headed to reincarnation? Am I headed to a judgment day where I'll find out if I'll go to paradise or not, depending on how good I've been, or just nothingness, just emptiness, just do I stop existing? Where are we going? Well, Jesus says, if you trust in me, I can tell you the destination. The destination is my Father's house. My Father's house. That's the destination, says Jesus. These questions, where am I going? They are big questions, and there's no agreement. And people don't like to be asked. It is humbling, isn't it, to admit that you have no idea where you're ending up. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what your life is all about. But Jesus tells us the destination. And he actually tells us about it in relation to himself. That's why we're talking about relationship. Thomas, he says, in response to that question, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you would know the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus says, look, this is all about me and the Father. It's not about some amazing world, although the Bible does talk about an amazing world. It's principally about me and the Father. The destination, he says, is a relationship. It's to be with the Father and to be with him. We don't always get the things we want from the Bible. There are some details that I'd love to know. When I was small, I imagined heaven as being a place where I could play Monopoly all the time. Maybe that's not your thing, but you sort of these questions, will I be able to race Formula One racing cars in the new creation, or will it be bad for the environment so we can't do it, or whatever? The Bible doesn't tell us those things, but it does tell us this thing. The destination involves relationship. Jesus says, you're going to the house of my Father. That's where I'm going, and you'll be there with me too. That's what he told his disciples last week. We looked at it a bit more. You can look back at the church website and find that out if you want to. The destination for the Christian is to be with Jesus and with his Father in relationship. We see elsewhere in the Bible that it is going to be a real place. It's going to be a physical place. We'll have bodies that will be perfect, that won't feel any pain, that won't die, that won't be corrupted. It will be a physical world, but a physical world that is principally about relationship with God. The Christian hope is all about relationship, joining Jesus there with the Father. And that is different from other world religions. You can't say they're the same. Not going to the Buddhist nirvana where relationships are extinguished, for instance. We're not even going the same way, let alone following the same route to get there. So I had a really helpful illustration of this week, of what this looks like. You think of a train station, let's say you're coming home from work, you're at Liverpool Street Station, you want to get back to Brentwood, and you've got all these trains lined up, and they all, in principle, look like they're going the same direction to the casual observer, lined up next to each other. But of course, they're not going to the same place. If you decide it's okay to get on platform 4 instead of platform 16, you're not going to get home. You're going to end up in Norwich or somewhere awful like that. Imagine, though, that you get on platform 4 anyway, and you pull out of the station, and the conductor comes along the train, and he says to you, you're going to Brentwood. Well, you're on the wrong train. Now, the helpful question I heard posed this week is that conductor being intolerant as he says that? Well, he's not, is he? He's just pointing you in the right direction. It's something you need to know. Actually, he's been quite helpful. If you were to say, you know, you're on the wrong train, if you were to scream at them and then throw them out the window, that might be a little bit intolerant, but that's not what's happening. Jesus, he's saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he's just correcting us. He's saying, look, there is this way. They're not going to the same destination. Understand that. All the paths don't lead to the same place. And that destination is me, says Jesus, relationship with me, with my Father, in a perfect world. That's where I'm going, and I want you to come with me. So that's the destination. But how do we get there? Well, Jesus says that I am the way. In fact, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think those are all slightly different things, but they're ultimately Jesus saying, I am the one route, I am the one path. Let's look at those three things. Jesus, the route, I am the way. What does Jesus mean by that? Well, what he doesn't mean is that he shows the way. He does show the way, but it's more than that. So many people think, hey, look, Jesus turned up on earth. He said, this stuff is right, this stuff is wrong. You can follow this, you can be like me, and then you'll get there. You can end up at the same destination as me. But there's more to it than that. That is insufficient. Because Jesus doesn't merely offer you a framework for good living that will get you to heaven. He doesn't just teach us the right path. Many think he does, but they're wrong. We could never match Jesus's moral standards. We can never do things the right way like him. He doesn't just provide the instructions that tell us how to get there ourselves. Jesus gets us there. He's not like a map. He's like a limo that drives right up to your front door, rings the doorbell, carries you out, plonks you in the car, and takes you all the way to your destination. Jesus is the means by which you get there. And what does he say to his disciples? Did you see that before? Verse 3, I will come again and will take you to myself. Jesus takes his friends home. So then we need to work out, well, then what kind of way is Jesus? Why is Jesus the only way? Well, the other two things he says provide some help for us there. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only way. Why? Because he is the truth. He's the truth from the Father, from God. Now, we left John's Gospel quite a long time ago, sort of 2 years ago. But if you remember, if you were here, all the way through John's Gospel, he's been revealing that he has come from heaven. That what he says is what the Father would say through him. Therefore, the truth on Jesus' lips is the truth that gives us access to God, the God who made us, the God who rules the world. Jesus speaks as someone sent by the Father. He was with the Father, he said. And if we want to know truth from God, from the Father, then we have to listen to Jesus. You find that throughout John's Gospel. You even get a hint of it in those next few verses, verses 8 to 11 that we read. He says, verse 9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His words are not his own authority, he says, but the Father's. Jesus is the truth. Why is he the truth? Well, because he properly knows what he's talking about. He knows the Father. He knows the Father's house. That's where he's come from. He came from heaven. He knows about his Father's house too, because that is where he's going. It is where he's ending up. And he knows about his Father's house because God sent Jesus to work, to speak. Jesus is God's representative. If you know me, he says to Philip, you know the Father also. Now, Philip gets a little bit confused about that, and there are some more things in those verses that I'm not going to dig into today. If you're in fellowship groups, have a great time exploring that this week, just to tell you that we're not going to get everything done today. But for the moment, know this, Jesus knows the truth because he is the truth. He knows the truth because he's come from the Father. He knows the truth because that is where he belongs. He's been sent from God. He's a representative of the Father. And if someone like that, with that sort of expertise, steps into the picture, you're a bit of a fool to then say, well, actually, I'm still going to continue to believe this other thing. So let's imagine that Max Fenn isn't here today, and everyone's sort of debating, well, what is Max like? And people say, well, yeah, he's a really slim chap. Excellent physique, they say. Some people might refer to his wonderful curly afro that he's got. Some people might talk about his big bushy beard. Yeah, Max is like this. And in fact, it gets to the point where people are disagreeing. And they're sort of split. No, Max is like this. No, Max is like this. Then Max walks in. He says, hello, everyone. Oh, he says, hello, everybody. Because that's Max. Sorry, Max, I didn't ask you about this. But Max steps in and said, ah, hello, everybody. I'm a normally built man. I wear unnecessarily tight trousers. I have a fairly regular haircut and a cheeky smile. At that point, when Max steps in, you sort of go, well, thank you, Max. No, but seriously, Max is black, and Max is saying, no, look, it's me. I'm just like this. You're a fool not to listen to the person who knows what they're talking about. Now, Jesus knows what he's talking about because he's talking about himself. He's talking about God. He's from God. He speaks with the authority of God. And he speaks about a destination that he's come from and he's going back to. But Jesus is the truth. His words are trustworthy. And then lastly, Jesus is the life. Now, Jesus' words are trustworthy, so let me tell you about life, he says. There are lots and lots and lots of places in John's Gospel where Jesus talks about life, what it means, how you get it, where it's from, what he has to do with it. I've been encouraged towards that's a little bit further back in John's Gospel, in chapter 5. I've put it up on the screen for you. Just hear Jesus talk about what he means when he says, I am the life. Let me read this. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. It's picking out sort of similar themes there. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Whoever believes in Jesus passes from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus says, I am the way because I am the life. I am the one who has the power. I am the one who has what it takes to give life to dead people. And that's important, isn't it? Because we're not just thinking of our destination as being our summer holiday in Camber Sands or wherever you go to, or Centre Parks. We're not talking about a shopping trip to Basildon. We're talking about somewhere beyond the grave, the other side of death. And it should be pretty obvious to us that we can't get ourselves there. Not with all the money in the world. Not with the best car. Not with the fastest plane. Not even if we resurrected Concorde could we do it. But Jesus says, I am the way because I am the life. I have the power and the authority to give life to those who are physically dead. You know, Jesus has done this. He's shown us that in the gospel. We've got three little gospels over here. The guys who wrote historical accounts of Jesus's life, the things he did, read those gospels because he brought people back from the dead, a guy called Lazarus. Jesus even rose himself from the grave. And no one else can do that. So why should we listen to Jesus? Well, because he is the life. And no one else can do that. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is a problem that those who trust in people, in science, in humanity, need to find a solution to if they're going to hold by that belief. Because unless science has got a cure for death, then we need someone who does. Unless in the sort of goodness of humankind, our bonding together and our rising up and whatever it is, unless that is going to provide a way to get past the problem of death, it is ultimately going to be useless to us. We need Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life, he says. And of course, he's saying all this, knowing that the next morning he's going to die on the cross. He knows truth from the Father. He's the one who can give you life to get to the Father, but only because he is going to die first. And then he's going to come back and take his people. But first he's got to die. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to rescue his people from their sin. He's going to die for their failings before God, for all the ways that they've fallen short. He's going to die to make them clean, to make them forgiven. He's going to die to give them their free pass to get into the Father's house. And he says to his people, I'm going to come back after the cross, and then I'm going to be able to take you with me. We can only get to the destination because Jesus is the one getting us in. And he doesn't look at our record of rights and wrongs. So Islam, for instance, they say you will get to Judgment Day and then your life will be weighed in the balance, your good deeds against your bad deeds. And then we'll see. Well, not with Jesus. Jesus says, you know, I will come and take you. I am the way. I am the way in. Don't worry about what you've been like. I will take you in. I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And I'm about to die so that you can come with me, he tells his disciples. And friends, it isn't arrogance to tell people that. They might feel offended. But here's the thing. We know the way. The way. We know Jesus. Jesus says, I have come from God. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way to the Father but through him. And sometimes we will need to contradict people who think otherwise, even though it might offend them. You imagine someone is crossing the road. A bus is hurtling towards them. What do you do? Do you not mention that there's a bus coming out of fear of offending them? Out of fear of being seen as intolerant? Oh, no, well, you think this is the right way to go, so I'm just going to leave you to it because, you know, we've all got our own opinions. Well, you can't do that when someone is going to be hit by a bus. You have to tell them, get out of the way, get on the pavement. If you know the true solution to someone's predicament, it is not arrogance to tell them. It is actually the most loving thing you can do. I remember, just as we finished, the story about Rico, a guy who teaches the Bible, a guy called Rico Tice, who once lived with a housemate of his. He used to preach on this sort of thing all the time, and he lived with this guy. One evening, he got home, and this guy had had on one of Rico's cassettes with one of his talks, and the guy was sitting on the couch in tears. Rico said to this guy, what's the problem? What's the matter? And he said to Rico, do you really believe this stuff is true? Because you've never told me about it, and I know that you don't love me. We can't spare people's feelings. We're called to be loving. We're not called to be horrible about it, but we have to tell people the truth. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. It's unacceptable to many, but it is the only hope that people, that humans can have. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to the Father's house. If you've never trusted that this morning, or you want to ask me more questions about it, please do come and grab me after the service. I'd love to talk, or talk to the person who came with you. But don't leave it lying. And Christians, we need to tell people. We need to tell people that Jesus is the one way, because there is no hope without him. I am the way, the truth, the life, says Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you that there is a way, even though we are totally undeserving of it. Thank you that Jesus can take us to be with you. Father, please would you give us confidence who are your friends this morning, that Jesus means that when he says it, that he is the truth, that he's trustworthy, that he is the life, that he has power to do it. Father, please help us to long for that day and to be bold in telling others, even though it might not make us popular. If we've never trusted Christ before this morning, I ask that you would be working in people's hearts to help them follow him. Lord, would you bring more into your house? Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. And we're going to finish our time together this morning by singing a song that will be known to many of us, Before the Throne of God Above, where we sing of Jesus, the one person who can make us right with God, the one person who can get us to heaven. Let's stand and sing together.